In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today, our last midweek in Advent service, we begin the great O Antiphons. In fact, you heard that antiphon at the beginning of our psalm this evening. The last seven nights before the sun setting on the 24th, the church has sung these antiphons for 1,000 years. Originally in Latin, the one for tonight begins sapientia, wisdom. The first letter of each of those antiphons going backward spells out the two Latin words, ero, cross. Ero, or he will be, and cross tomorrow. The church has sung these for 1,000 years. And at the end of it, that last antiphon being rung out on the 23rd, the next night when the church will gather, she celebrates the coming of the Lord. He will be, he is. These antiphons of old were then turned into a hymn that is easily one of the most popular Advent into Christmas hymns that exists, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Originally in Latin, sung with each psalm every single night as the church would gather in preparation. Now a beautiful song sung throughout the world in multiple different languages. We are tied into a church, into a faith much older than every single person sitting here, much older than St. Peter's, much older than our state, our country, and Lutheranism. We are tied into our forefathers in the faith. Ahaz was a wicked king. And when he says, I will not test the Lord, he is being facetious. Because that's exactly what he did time after time. But the Lord proclaims a sign to Ahaz and to the world. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 'twas foretold this. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. A young woman who was not married, who knew not a man, would for the first time in all of history, and the last time in all of history, conceive and have a baby. If that were not miraculous enough, this baby is God in the flesh. It's almost unfathomable to us. How on earth could God, in his majesty, in his infinite wisdom and power, be confined to such an itty-bitty living space? And yet, for 9 months, that's exactly what he did. Laying his crown down, humbling himself, being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, Mary spends the next 9 months, this virgin girl, betrothed but not married. She spends the next 9 months wondering what she will do. She submitted to the Lord's word. For when the angel Gabriel, the same angel that went to Zechariah and foretold that his wife also would have a baby, but though she was old and barren, it was a thing by God. For nothing is impossible with God. And now this angel, 6 months later, comes to this young virgin girl, betrothed to a man named Joseph. Betrothal engagement was something very firm in those days. It was not just a relationship status change. It was with the intention that now we understand that God has brought us together, that he has designed that we would spend the rest of our earthly lives together, and that we will now begin planning this, not to put it off for years, but to enter into it in a God-pleasing way. This is a covenant between them. But Mary is told, you will have a son. You will have a son, but I'm not married. The Son is not from any man. This is the eternally begotten Son of God the Father. She submits to the will of God. Having heard the angel cry out, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee." Can you imagine having an angel coming to you in the first place, but then telling you that you have the favor of God? Not because of who she is, but because of what God has designed for her. You've heard me say, and I'll say it again, Mary is the most important woman who has ever lived. Not because she is sinless, but because she submitted to God's will. She calls herself a servant, a handmaiden of the Lord. I will do what you have sent me to do. She obeys God's word. She points people to Jesus. She watches her son die for her sins. Mary is a woman who needs to be emulated. She is a woman that all women should look to as an example. She devotes her life to caring for her child. She devotes her life to pointing others to Jesus. Mary then, responding in this way, goes to her cousin Elizabeth, who is pregnant, and at 6 months old, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy at the presence of this little baby, showing just how beautiful life truly is. God took on flesh at conception. At the word proclaimed, he took on flesh. He is not a clump of cells. He is a baby in that womb in a way that we do not comprehend. Mary would spend the next 3 months with her cousin, and she have sang out the words that we sing out this night after the sermon. It is God who is the Savior. It is God who fills the hungry with good things. It is God who helps his servant Israel. The Israel of old and the Israel today, the believing church. He has spoken this to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to our forefathers in the faith. They clung to this hope. Today, as I mentioned, we also remember the three young men who spent time in a fiery furnace. These three young men were thrown in for not bowing down to any other god but the true God. In Babylon, their names had been changed, along with Daniel. So of Daniel, the prince renames them Daniel, Belteshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. These three young men, we know their story. They are placed in the fire, and yet the king acknowledges that the fire does not harm them. In fact, he sees a fourth one in there, and he says that his face is like the son of the gods, not fully comprehending that it truly was the son of the only God who had protected them. The men who had thrown them into the fire had been consumed in fire, so hot it was, and yet these three young men, not even a hair on their head was singed. We sang out a song that is found in the Greek translation of Daniel, but not in the Hebrew, a song that the church has sung for generations upon generations. This song is also in the old TLH, that hymnal as well. This is a song that blesses God and acknowledges that it is us who need to praise him. A song called Benedicite Omnia Opera. Bless all the works of the Lord. All the works of God are blessed. They're his work. The Virgin Mary is blessed. All generations are to refer to her as so, not because she is sinless, not because she is perfect, not that we should pray to or through her, not that we should acknowledge her as some sort of co-redemptrix, but because she has earned the honor of Mother of God, the Theotokos. Respect is something she has definitely earned because of her reliance on God. So when the world in its craziness pushes you to sanctify not the desires of God, but to rather give in to whatever your flesh desires, look to Mary, and she will point you to the cross of her son Jesus. Lift up your eyes, dear church. Next week, we will gather no longer in the penitential season of Advent, but in the full joy of the Christ Mass. 12 days spending rejoicing that our Savior was born so that he might die and be raised for our sins, for his mother's sins, for Daniel's sins and the three young men's sins, and for the sins of the world. In the name of Jesus, amen.